Hey, have you ever wondered how the ultra wealthy grow their real estate portfolio so fast and furious? Have you ever heard of the infinite banking concept? Learn how you can become your own bank and build out your own real estate portfolio like the pros, like the ultra wealthy. Call Ed Knezovich or Ryan Miller at Next Level Continuing Education at 614-648-2440. Learn how to purchase investment real estate without spending a dollar of your own capital through Next Level Continuing Education. 614-648-2440. Hey, this is Coach Cimarroni for Blood Time, and I'm here with an amazing story and individual on the phone, Cam Tesari. Cam, how are you?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
Real good. I'm so glad that you agreed to do this interview because I don't think there's ever been four state champs of four-time state champs on the same team at the same time. I don't know, maybe in the history of college or high school wrestling. What was that like, man? Monroeville. It's like what was in the water down there?
A lot of hard work, really. But it was a blast, man. It was a blast. Getting to wrestle with Hunter and Logan Stever, Chris Phillips. Just being under their tutelage, getting to be beat up by them every day.
Sure.
It was truly a blessing. It got me to where I wanted to be in the sport of wrestling, I suppose. So very fortunate for them.
Well, you know, Cam, any great organization has other great individuals in the room. I mean, I had the opportunity to wrestle every day with a state champ that was two weight classes below me, made me clearly much better. And in the Beachwood wrestling room, which I wrestled in then coached, had a number of state champs at the same time or state place winners, and they all it was a dogfight. And of course, you know, the old rooms of Maple and current rooms of places like Wadsworth and Brecksville and St. Ed's, everywhere you look, you got somebody to really scrap with. And so that, I guess, was the special sauce. But how when you guys look at each other as freshmen and you win the state title, and then you're like, can we do this? Was that ever a discussion?
No, I don't think we ever really questioned whether or not we could do it. I think we realized that every chance that we got to be in a wrestling room, if we allowed ourselves to give anything less than 100%, we made ourselves a little bit easier to beat. So we were in there going 100% 5-6 times a week, just really getting after it. And we believed we outworked everyone in the state of Ohio. So mental aspect of could we do it never really crossed into that. We were putting in the work. We could do it. It was going to get done.
Yeah, so it was just a given. It wasn't even discussed. It was just, we're just going to do this and let the chips fall as they may. I would assume it's just like, hey, confidence is quiet. Arrogance is loud, right?
Exactly.
I like that. So you had the Stever brothers, right? And so, you know, sadly, Hunter had some pretty tough injuries in college. What were they like when they went after each other? Did they go after each other? I mean, obviously, I've coached twins, and I've also interviewed a few twins, like the Jim Shear and his brother Bill, and they said that they really went after each other. What was that like watching those cats?
It was something to see for sure. I mean, they definitely got after each other. I would say most of the time they were civilized and well behaved around each other, but you did get those insider moments where you got to see them rip each other's heads off, and that was always fun too.
Yeah, and obviously you went with Chris, I would imagine, a few times, right?
Yeah, but I rolled around with Chris a lot more, especially my junior, senior years of high school. But no, growing up through Biddy, I was with Hunter and Logan all through that point in my career as well. So I was always kind of around their size coming up K through about 10th grade is when I kind of started outpacing them and grow.
Gotcha. So you know, Blood Time's about that connection between the coach and the athlete and maybe something that they said or something that they did. But let's identify some of the coaches that really made you who you are and also got you through some tough times after you got out of high school.
Right. So, I mean, obviously you have Jeff Stever, Hunter and Logan's father.
Sure.
Was one of our coaches growing up. You've got the Burnett brothers, who I would argue is two of the greater wrestlers to ever come out of the state of Ohio, and Eric and Scott Burnett.
No doubt.
Let's You had Jack Gillespie. Ron Burnett, actually, the Burnett's father, was one of my biddy wrestling coaches.
Yep,
and just Eric Burnett were probably the two bigger ones as far as technique. We were working with Eric and Scott multiple times a week, and then we'd also have practices out at Jeff Sieber's garage, actually, where we're more mental, mindset, conditioning, kind of trying to break your practices.
What was something that really hit you that said, I can do this? Was there a coach that said something or did something or believed in something? You know, what was that?
I remember not even very well, but overhearing my dad and Jeff Sieber actually having a conversation at one of the Pennsylvania biddy tournaments we used to go to. And just saying something about, and I mean, obviously Logan was killing at that age and you knew that he was going to be elite throughout his career. So having his dad say something to my dad about the level, something about Cam's got it. Whatever it is to be successful at the next level, this, that, and the other. And it kind of just, once you hear it verified by someone else, you kind of start to believe it in yourself. And I don't think I ever really had any mental problems getting into the mindset that I could be as successful as I was going to be. So, well, I mean, I guess I never really had to be told that, but overhearing it and just having someone else believe that in me as well would give me a confidence boost for sure.
It is truly amazing when that comes together. And it's just, you just hear it from somebody that you love and respect, and it says, I can do this. But more importantly, he believes in me. She believes in me. That's pretty powerful.
For sure.
Yeah, and that's what good coaching is, I think. And you know, Cam, you did pretty well at the state tournament. Not many have done as well as you and obviously the other three individuals. But there had to be that one dude that you just had to really work a little harder at. And was there that one guy or maybe two guys that really pushed you to the limit?
You're saying, like, as far as an opponent that I had to look forward to?
Correct, yeah, yeah, from another school that you wrestled in the state tournament.
I really don't know that I have that one guy. I was always in the wrestling room. It was more of a mindset of maximizing my potential, being all that I could be.
Sure.
I wasn't training for a certain opponent. I was training to basically unleash every bit of God-given potential I had in my body. If that wasn't enough, then that wasn't enough. But
Right. That, I love that mentality because, you know, like any elite athlete, you play the course. You know, like if you interview Tiger Woods, he says, I don't play an opponent. I play the hole. I play the shot. I just play what's in front of me, you know. And so, you know, whatever sport it is or whatever sport it is, that's what the elite athlete kind of has that same mentality, and I really like that. So when you did that, you were pretty heavily recruited coming out of high school. And tell me a little bit about that process.
Yeah. So I was, I think, the number one recruit in my weight class in the country my junior year.
Right.
I got recruited by a couple different schools, went on a couple of different visits, but eventually settled on Ohio State. I was going to follow Hunter and Logan there.
Right.
And hopefully just keep that success train moving, I suppose, was the mindset.
Right. And then you went there, and what was that like the first year?
It was a little bit of a culture shock. I mean, coming from Monroeville, I had a graduating class of about 55 kids, and now I'm living in downtown Columbus. It was a bit of a culture shock, but I had a lot of fun. Had a lot of success down there, wrestling-wise, my first year, but ended up going down the wrong path, getting into a little bit of trouble, and things didn't really work out.
That happens, and right. You know, everybody doesn't realize that, you know, everybody looks from the outside and says, well, they should have this or that mentality or direction. But you're talking about 18-year-old kids. I mean, yeah, granted, technically, legally, we're adults at 18, but really we're children until we're 25, I think, and particularly a male. And when you have all that in front of you, it's hard to make sometimes the right decision all the time. So when you went down that path, tell me a little bit about how that made you feel, and then what did you do to pull yourself out and to ultimately become a champion again?
I kind of continued down that path. I lost my scholarship at Ohio State after a couple failed drug tests.
Right.
I think one of my big problems at the time was I was still having success while enjoying my social life and partying and doing these things.
That's probably the worst thing that could happen. Because you think you can get away with it, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
I could do this, but yeah, it's nonsense. So, but go ahead. I'm sorry to interrupt you.
No, you're good. So then I move on to Hofstra, and like you said, kids, even though we're technically adults at 18, 19, 20, I still hadn't really correlated that my poor decision-making abilities was directly influencing my future, and lost another scholarship because I was academically ineligible.
Right.
Skipped all my classes to go out drinking, partying, doing this, that, and the other.
Right.
Then eventually got kicked out of there, got an opportunity to wrestle at Lindsey Wilson in Kentucky.
Yes. Yeah.
Where I actually intentionally picked that, not only because I loved the coaches and kind of the place that I was, but it was also a dry county at the time.
So okay.
Literally had to drive 30 minutes to find some trouble.
So temptation was a bit out of reach.
Right, exactly.
Okay.
Put myself in a little bit better situation to succeed, I suppose, with the mindset.
Right, right. Well, it's interesting, too, because I've had a number of friends that went through the program back in the day, and they've survived. A few didn't. And typically they just didn't, you know, the ones that survived just didn't put themselves in bad situations and recognize that. And we just had Richard Jensen in a couple of weeks ago, who, I don't know if you know that story or not, but huge into the drug world and the criminal world, and pulled himself out, and at 36 years old, enrolled in Clackamas Junior College and actually made the team at 37, made the national tournament at 37, and became a master's champion at 39, and goes around the country now calling, you know, he has a book called Be a Champion in Life, and speaks to over, well, pre-COVID, over to 30 to 40,000 individual children and coaches and wrestlers around the country. So it's a beautiful thing when that thing starts to work. So the dry county in Kentucky and that school there really helped you get to where you needed to be.
Correct.
And tell me a little bit about that process.
So I guess at that time I'd been working construction a little bit, so I had a little downtime to really reflect on my experience at Ohio State and Hofstra.
Sure.
And I made the decision to go back and try and finish my wrestling career at Lindsay.
Okay.
I suppose I kind of decided that I had to get my act together, this, that, and the other, because the thing that Tom Ryan actually brought up to me a couple of times when he was trying to get through to me was, if a stranger followed you around for 24 hours without your knowledge, would they be able to accurately describe what your goals are?
Gotcha.
And while I sat there and I said all the time that I wanted to be a national champ, if anyone were to follow me into a wrestling room, yeah, they might believe that that was the story. But outside of the wrestling room, I was telling a completely different tale. So I kind of, that really stuck with me, I suppose. And I realized that I needed to kind of live the life if I was going to achieve the success I wanted to achieve. And luckily, we walked out of there with a national title. So.
And that's amazing. Tom is a spectacular human being, and that those words of advice I'm sure ring true to you today. And that's why he's coached so many national champions, has a national title, and has, you know, been the kind of man he's been.
Right.
You know what I mean? And when I coach in the business world, I go into corporations. One of the things I say, I'd give it the mother test. Don't do a deal unless your mother is looking over your shoulder and she approves. And so that could maybe be the same thing. You know, don't do that act unless mommy's over your shoulder and approves, you know? So,
right. Exactly.
I think that's somewhat what Tom was saying. And I really love that whole process, but I want to take a break and pay tribute to our sponsors and then explore that, that national titled year a little bit further with you. So we'll be back with Cam Tessari after the break. This is Coach Cimarroni for Blood Time. You know, we love Serve Pro of Beachwood as a sponsor, and Jack Coslin, former All-State wrestler from Beachwood, who wrestled with my producer's father every day, Maverick Peters, Scott Peters, Dr. Scott Peters, on a daily basis. They both made the state tournament, and that quality of making it and all that foundational pieces of making the state tournament has served Jack well, Jack Coslin, the owner of Serve Pro of Beachwood. And you know what he needs now? He needs management help, and the opportunities for working with ServPro and getting a career in ServPro management have never been better. You need to seek out Jack Coslin at serveproofbeachwood.com for these incredible management positions, starting at $70,000 a year, full benefits. That's right, full benefits, absolute opportunity for growth with ServPro of Beachwood. Give Jack Coslin a call. Call Jack Coslin, Serve Pro of Beachwood, at 216-464-4498 and mention Blood Time and Undeniable with Coach Cimarroni. And we're back with the great story of Cam Tassari. This is Coach Cimarroni for Blood Time. Cam, unbelievable words of advice from the brilliant Tom Ryan, and now you start to live it, and the ultimate thing that occurs is an NAIA national title, correct?
That is correct.
So talk to us a little bit about the process of getting out of that depth, getting out of the dregs, if you will, of what was the prior couple years, and then focusing, bringing those words of encouragement, bringing those words from Coach Ryan, but also I'm sure your coaches as well at the other school in Kentucky, and talk a little bit about what that was like.
Right. So, I mean, it was just kind of cleaning up my social life, choosing to surround myself with better people, people that were more like-minded with the goals that I had. And like I said earlier, just kind of living up to that question that Tom Ryan asked me so many years ago, if a stranger followed me around for 24 hours without my knowledge, would they be able to tell me what my goals were?
Yeah.
Because
were you living those foundational pieces to get there?
Exactly. You know, because mm-hmm. when someone truly desires something or truly has aspirations to do remarkable things with their life, like achieve a national championship, it becomes apparent in the way that they live their life.
Well said.
You know, that desire just consumes them.
Yep. And did you make any amends with anybody that you hurt during that process?
I've made amends with my wife now, actually. I was dating Rachel Surgeon at the time that I was getting in trouble at Ohio State.
Okay.
And we ended up breaking up for a couple of years, so I got my act together.
Sure.
We've made amends. We've got a little family started now.
That is the best of amends, my friend. That's the best.
Yes,
yeah, that's beautiful. Well, we love Rachel because we need strong partners to do great things. You know,
exactly.
And we give all credit to her in many, many ways. So please give her our best.
Definitely will do so.
Great. And so you made amends with that. Did you make amends with yourself? Did you forgive yourself?
So I thought I did. I don't sure.
Okay.
Not still sure about that. So I actually had an interesting meeting recently at Troy Christian, the place that I'm coaching at currently.
Great program. Great program.
Yes, yeah. We had an all coaches meeting, and our guest speaker was Tom Ryan.
Oh, wow. Wow.
And that was just kind of an interesting little dynamic. And I don't know, when I saw him, it was almost the personification of my embarrassment of that time frame in my life.
Sure.
So I think I've forgiven myself, and then I kind of get dragged into that sometimes where, I don't know, just kind of brought up some bad memories, was a little embarrassed of the way that I lived, and
sure.
got to apologize to Tom and actually had a good conversation with him that night. I am thankful for that.
He's just a truly generous guy.
He truly is. It's unfortunate that I met him when I did, because at this point in my life, he's the exact kind of person that I'm trying to bring into my life, surround my family with this, that, and the other. And
right.
At the time that I had the opportunity to do that, I was kind of living like a turd. So
I get it, man. But you did the right thing. You exercised out the demons internally and externally that were impinging upon your success. And so by getting rid of the individuals that were really causing you to look to the dark side, if you will, and then surround yourself with people that were encouraging, but also holding you to task, right? What a great coach does, encouragement, but also hold you to task. Tell me a little bit about that process and how you won the national title.
So my national title, I won at Lindsay. Actually had lost in the national finals the year prior. So that was a little bit of fuel to my fire to get back there and finally get it done. But
sure.
I had an excellent coach at Lindsay as well, Coach Ruff and Coach Myron Bradbury, who kind of helped me stay the course. They were always available to me when I was struggling to just talk to, kind of get things off my chest. And they'd always have some great insight, offer some great advice. So it was great to have them there for that aspect. But, yeah, I mean, I was just surrounded by a great support system that believed in me, and it was kind of all that I really needed. I think my wrestling talent and my ability to do work on the mat kind of speaks for itself, but just having the guys in my corner that truly believed me and me wanted the best for me, not only on the mat, but outside of it as well, was more than enough support that I needed to get the job done, I suppose, but it was an absolute blast. I had Rachel in the stands, my first son, Abe, born about 6 months earlier than the tournament. So that was a blast having him there.
That is fantastic.
For my last tournament and kind of doing a little farewell tour with him. So that was a blast.
That's great. And then you just left the shoes on a mat, right? After that.
Yes, sir.
I love that. If you were scouting yourself, what's the scouting report on Cam? How to beat or how to wrestle or what to look for?
How to beat Cam. If you don't shoot on Cam, there's not going to be a lot of action.
Gotcha.
He's not shooting on you.
Okay.
So I guess the strategy is to keep it close and win in the third or overtime. You might even get into a 0-0 matchup if you really don't want to do anything.
Gotcha. Well, what about if I'm on the bottom, how am I getting out?
Oh, you're not getting out.
I hear you.
Not a kidding.
That's what I was waiting for. I love it. Well, I knew that was Cam, but I wanted to hear it from the horse's mouth.
There it is.
Absolutely. You know, and then obviously you saw an amazing talent in Logan and a four-time NCAA champion and world champion and now a retired amazing coach, if you will, and speaker. Tell me about what was special about him.
Logan was just truly the most competitive person I've ever seen in my life.
Right.
I mean, I remember being probably six, 7 years old playing football games, and if his team was losing, we couldn't quit playing until his team was on top.
I love it.
I mean, just little silly things. He truly was the most competitive person I've ever met in my entire life, and his father was willing to bring the people around to put him in situations where he could be successful. And with Logan's work ethic and desire to be great, that was all he really needed.
I hear you. And if Hunter wasn't injured, what do you think Hunter could have done?
I think Hunter's one of the most talented wrestlers I've ever met in my life.
That's what I feel too. Yeah.
He could have been just as successful as Logan, I suppose.
Yeah. I think those are definitely, sadly unfulfilled dreams, but that's what happens if you don't stay healthy, and sometimes you can't control that. It's sad.
Right, yeah, it takes a lot of luck to
especially that at that level, right? Well, especially at the elite level.
To hold up.
Yes,
exactly.
Yes, the toughness. And so are you still in contact with Chris and Hunter and Logan?
Not so much Logan. I haven't heard from him in a couple of years. But okay. My brother, Nick, and Hunter are actually really good friends. So Hunter rolls around Christmas time about every other year.
Okay.
I get to see him. And then Chris, I stay in probably the most contact with him.
Mm-hmm.
We're both coaching high school in Ohio right now.
Where's Chris at?
He was at Norwalk last year and debating on switching out. I'm not sure if he made that decision or not yet.
Great. Well, if you're ever in town, you're always welcome in the Chagrin Falls Wrestling Room, my friend.
Oh, I will definitely take you up on that. I'm always looking for a room to get in.
Absolutely. And tell the same to Chris, Hunter, and Logan when the next time you talk to him. But I'd love to have all four of you in the same room. That'd be fantastic.
Actually, I just got a letter in the mail. Our 2000, I think, Penn wrestling team just got inducted into the Monroeville Hall of Fame. Man. We might have us all four in the same room again.
Well, well deserved. And that year was a pretty special year for my family, if you will, John Gramuglia. I had the honor of coaching him at John Carroll's when I was a GA there. And that was the year Wadsworth won the state title and broke the string.
Oh, knocked off St. Ed.
Yeah. I had him in the room. I had Clay Wenger, one of his guys who are now the head coach. Johnny retired. So special year, 2010, my friend.
Yes, sir.
Absolutely. Well, congratulations. Well deserved. And Monroeville, I had the opportunity to coach there in a tournament. Probably when I was head coach at Beechwood back in 16, I think. Or maybe not. No, okay. No, I didn't coach him. What it was you know, Jared Opfer over he had a tournament, and Monroeville was there, but Monroeville was down pretty tough. It wasn't when you guys were there. team wasn't very good that year, but it was interesting to wrestle against you guys. But at the end of the day, it's about, you know, just doing the right thing, right?
Exactly.
So you're married now. What are you doing today besides coaching wrestling?
I'm pouring concrete, working construction, heavy highway.
I love it. Man's got to do what a man's got to do, and that's great, honest, hard labor that brings home the bacon, right?
Yes, sir. It puts food on the table. My wife is actually getting ready to go back to school next year and get her doctorate, hopefully. And at that point, maybe I can go back to school and do something else. We'll see. But for now, we'll be pouring concrete, and that's fine.
Hey, there's a lot of money in concrete, my friend. The Italians know that. Maybe sometimes there's a body buried, but Jimmy Hoffa show up. Anyhow, at the end of the day, though, you know, this is what it's all about, right?
Exactly.
You know, coming out of what you needed to come out of and coming out on the other side and being a champion. And like Richard Jensen says, champion in life. So what's your wife going to get a doctorate in?
It's something with anesthesia. I'm not sure. I believe DRNA, but I don't know what any of those letters stand for.
Well, yeah, my nurse, my sister-in-law is a nurse anesthetist, and
That's what it is.
Yeah, and so is my daughter's boyfriend is studying to be one. So, and one of my best, definitely my best wrestler this year, Sam Partain, his father Bill is a nurse anesthetist, so pays a good buck, my friend. So she's doing a good job. Absolutely. Well, Cam, you know, this is the coming out of the year and a half of the virus. We'd like to leave the audience, particularly in Blood Time, with some words of encouragement and some inspiration and something positive. So if you can leave us with something.
If you're not willing to sacrifice for what you want, then what you want becomes a sacrifice. During this time, we've got some extra time that we can be putting in some work, getting better, bettering ourselves. And if you're not taking advantage of that opportunity, then you're sacrificing that opportunity. So get out there, become better in some way, shape, or form today.
I love that. I love that. That was a great quote. And Cam, you live it, man. You came through the depths. And you came on the opposite side and the good side and became a champion again. And I'm just very honored and happy that you were willing to do a Blood Time with us.
Thank you for having me. I really do appreciate it.
Yeah, good luck with Troy Christian, unless you're wrestling a Schrin Falls Tiger, my friend.
I appreciate it, Bob.
Listen, give my best to all the guys in Monroeville. Congratulations again, and thanks for coming on.
Will do. Thanks for having me.
Talk to you soon, Cam. This is Coach Cimarroni for Blood Time. We are all blood. Love to all. Yes, this is Coach Cimarroni for Limo King, one of our newest sponsors, and Connor Mack. We love Connor. He has this company that's the premier party bus company for Cleveland, with over 200 reviews being 5 stars. That's 200 reviews at 5 stars. Holy cow. All of their vehicles are purchased brand new and are custom built. They service nights out, sporting events, concerts, weddings, and many other services. They service all of Northeast Ohio, Akron, and Canton. Feel free to call or text the owner, Connor Mack,
directly at 440-221-4474. That's Connor Mack, 440-221-4474. TheLimoKing.com. TheLimoKing.com for all of your party bus needs.
What was it like to be there for historical sports moments and unforgettable performances? To be behind the scenes? On Press Box Access, you'll hear from me, Todd Jones, and other sports writers about their experiences with the greatest athletes, coaches, and sports events of the past half century. We'll share some stories behind the stories, some big, some small, and some we've only told each other. Let us buy you a round on Press Box Access.